In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning. You know, part of the goal of the first Sunday in the season of Lent, the first Sunday of the in the season of Lent, is that we want to establish that this is something that's different from what has just come before it. So we have a different look to our bulletin. We have a different Eucharistic prayer, some different prayers in there. We have this morning Catherine Gibbs' painting of Jesus in the desert. And if you haven't seen them, we have out there a bunch of depictions of Eve and the serpent. And we have purple up here. So things are different. And these lessons, especially our first lesson, is a really wonderful reading for Lent because it's got sin and temptation and all these great Lenten themes. In this first reading from Genesis chapter 2, God takes Adam and God puts Adam into the Garden of Eden. And God basically says, Adam, this is all yours. All of this is yours, except this one tree, of course. It's all yours to do with it what you want, to play in it, to build it up, to use it the way you like. That's how God is speaking to Adam today. But I think when we hear this passage, we hear that prohibition against that one tree. That's what we focus on. The fact that it's all Adam's, minus that one tree, is kind of lost to us. Because knowing human nature as we do, we know that that one tree becomes the thing of concern. That one tree, because someone says to you that you can't go to that one tree, what are you going to do? You're going to go to that tree. A few months ago, I went to the doctor, to the cardiologist, to talk about my triglycerides, so I don't get pancreatitis again. And the cardiologist said, what I could eat and what I could not eat. And he said, you know, of all the trees in the garden of food, of all the trees out there, the one thing you can't eat are French fries because of the combination, the evil combination of carbohydrates and fat, which are sugars and fat, which add to the triglycerides. So the doctor, when he said that, the second he said it, I just began thinking about French fries, about how, you know, they're not that, I don't think about them that often, but suddenly they became special. There was this golden fence drawn around them. They were lifted up. He called them out, the French fry. They weren't that special before. They're delicious, but I didn't think about them. They were like that house where suddenly they have the no trespassing sign out in front, and you really want to know what's going on in there. Or that lake that says no swimming that you've never been interested in before, and you want to just feel that water. Perhaps if God had said nothing to Adam, perhaps if God had just let that tree be among the trees in the garden, he and Eve wouldn't have even thought about the fruit. But suddenly it was a prohibition. And then the serpent gets involved, and you know how it goes. What makes something that is prohibited into something that is special is probably best explained by psychologists. From a practical perspective, wouldn't it be so much better if those things that were prohibited were just boring? Like dirt. I don't want to eat dirt, and dirt isn't good for me to eat. So that's a great combination right there. The way it should operate in terms of things that are special is that it should be special for us just to be good people. It should be special for us just to go to work, just to love our families, just to do the right thing, just to love other people. That should be really special for us. And it is, and it's worthwhile, and we do it, and we're good at these basic, normal things. But then suddenly, from time to time, just like Jesus in the desert, we get these voices. We all hear these voices, and the voices are saying, come on, just turn these stones into bread, because bread is special. And you have a lot of stones, but you don't have a lot of bread. Or the voices are saying, throw yourself from this pinnacle and trust God because you don't have faith. Or maybe you have just a little teeny bit of faith, but you got to get more faith. Or the voices are saying, become ruler of all, become owner of more things because you don't rule very much, do you? You're a ruler of very little. You don't own enough. This is the allure of what we do not have. It is making special all of those things out there, whatever they are, just because we don't have them. This is why shopping is such a huge pastime, isn't it? Because of that thing that I don't have that I want to have. This is why we fight wars. Because of that land that is not my land yet. And this is why we are jealous and resentful and envious toward others, that they have it and I don't. So going back to Genesis, it's important to remember the basic proposition, the basic transaction in Genesis chapter 2 is this. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you may eat freely of every tree of the garden. And let's just focus on that. Let's just stop there. If we just stop there, and if we focus on the fact that God in Genesis is giving Adam and Eve this gift, that's the point of creation. That's the point of separating the day from the night. That's the point of separating the water from the land. That's the point of putting the moon in the sky at night and the sun in the sky at day. That's the point of creating the land animals. That's the point of creating the sea animals. That's the point of creating the creature and the point of creating the creature's mate. That God delights in creation and that God delights in us and that God wants us to be happy and to be fruitful and to multiply. And it's beautiful. And it's important to remember that it's a gift. And just like with so many gifts, there are some conditions. My nephew, Ismael, just turned 17 and his parents gave him a new car. But believe me, they did not give him this car without a few conditions. They told him, you can't speed. You have to wear your seatbelt. You can never drink and drive. You've got to check the oil. All of these conditions on this gift. And if at some point he says, wow, that's a lot that they're asking of me, he goes back to the fact that he's got a car, which is way better than walking. Our religious perspective on Genesis and creation is that we have to balance the temptations and the prohibition with being grateful for the gift. We've got to return to the fact that it is a gift, that it comes with conditions, and we can be drawn to the fruit. We're always going to be drawn to the fruit. We can be drawn to the things that we should not have. But our balance is to go back to the gift and say, God, thank you for what you've given us. That's our spiritual life. We've been given a beautiful garden. We've grown up in the garden. Our children have played in it. We will continue to grow up and play in it. And at the end of the day, our story stops with us praising God for this gift. But the fact is that we know we will always want more, which is the whole point of creation care. This service today was designed as a service to think about creation care. And it was prayed first at our diocesan convention. And the prayers are about preserving the gift, giving thanks to God for the gift. I think fundamentally, and I think many of you would agree, that human beings have gotten away from thanking God for this gift. And it's not that we're going to live like Adam and Eve with fig leaves for clothes, because we need houses and we need electricity and we need water and we need our little communications devices and all these things. But at some point, don't we cross that line? At some point, don't we get away from that part of Genesis where we're just happy for the gift? And we go out to where what we're doing is just forbidden. And we've been told by scientists that if we keep doing these things, we're going to be kicked out of the garden. Disposable plastics, waste going into the rivers, inefficient motors, different things which we know are not good for us, which have been, in a sense, drawn with a fence around them by people who know, who say, don't keep doing this. But because it's convenient, and because it's easy, and because we are essentially complacent, we allow the stones to become bread all the time. So how do we go back? That's what creation care asks of us. Not how do we give up our things, but how do we go back to valuing this gift from God? At the cathedral, we have in the past had a creation care series, and we will have another one. We've also had a series of articles that Paul Barton has written on the simple things we can do to cut back just 2%, which is what the experts say will make a huge difference. And if you haven't seen them, they're printed and they're on a table out in the foyer. In addition, as part of our Lenten journey this year, we are invited to consider doing a little bit more. And so today after the service, Liz Stevens, who's up here, I think she's still up there. Yep, she's there. She's going to talk about a creation care group that the cathedral is going to start. And the group will help us focus on recycling, a recycling plan for the cathedral, as well as a few other formation programs and ways that we can thank God for this gift. And everyone is invited to participate. The other thing that Liz will talk about is how easy it is to schedule a home energy audit. And at our house, we've had two home energy audits. And what it's free, the state pays for it. And what you do is they come in and they do an audit, and they gave us free light bulbs. They gave us power strips, which save energy, an electronic thermostat, and we got a really good discount on insulation, which cut back on our heating bill. And in one house helps, but if a whole group of people do this, it makes a huge difference. So my prayer is that we contribute in some way as part of our Lenten journey to caring for this earth. So the real reason that I have had no French fries, or I've had a few, but I've had very few French fries. The real reason is that I have decided this year that I'm going to focus on the gift, which is my life. The French fries are not the gift. The extra stuff we want in our life is not the gift. The plastics, the disposables, the convenience, all the tempting prohibitions of life are not the gift. Our life is the gift. Our earth is the gift. Our air is the gift. Our water is the gift. So for this Lent, let's focus on these things.